And good morning. Joining us right now is Tom Fitton, president of Judicial Watch. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us in studio. You're
so welcome. Yesterday, as Sally Yates was giving a little testimony yesterday, answering some questions, you were filing a lawsuit to get some of her emails. What is in those emails that you could possibly be looking for?
Well, we're going to see if there's material there about the unmasking, about her communications with the White House, about her refusal to do her job as acting attorney general and defend the president's executive order then on immigration. She wasn't in office a long time, I guess, 10 days or so?
Yeah, as the acting attorney general, that's right.
But for 10 days, there was a lot of controversy. So we just asked for her official emails from that time period she was acting attorney general. And as usual, the Justice Department hasn't given us any documents, so we're in federal court now asking for the records, and we can see why, from yesterday's testimony, it's important we get documents to see what really went on.
So you've tried filing a FOIA request? I'm just curious. I was just going to tell you to try that if you've already tried it.
Well, believe it or not, we always don't want to sue. We sometimes would prefer to get the records without having to go to court and having the tax dollars of the United States government be wasted by federal agencies defending this lawlessness.
Well, now what do you expect to get from her on the unmasking? Because I think she was asked about this yesterday. From the earlier hour, 7 o'clock hour, Mike, I want you to go to cut number 12. Here is Sally Yates being asked the question about, did you ever unmask? Hold on, I want to get this right. Hang on, I'm so sorry. Oh, it was about collusion. But I think she answered the question about unmasking yesterday, and I think they both came away saying that they weren't responsible for unmasking. I think Clapper said in one case, but not the one involving Michael Flynn, that there was unmasking.
Well, that's right. They may have received intelligence product, though. At least one time, at least Flynn suggested he requested the unmasking of someone, either Trump or someone close to Trump. He couldn't get into the specifics. And I think Yates may have implied that as well. And we also want to know who she was in communication with, because she says she didn't leak anything. What's important about the Flynn scandal isn't necessarily that the underlying conduct was a scandal, contrary to what she says. It's that the compromise of the surveillance and the classified nature of that surveillance was leaked to someone in the media by someone, whether it was from the former Obama administration or who knows, maybe from the Trump administration. We need to find out who that is. And her emails may tell us, at least give us a category of people who might fall into the suspects.
Now, here is a question that was asked of Yates about whether or not there was collusion with the Russians in this whole case. And here's what's her answer.
Are you aware of any evidence that would suggest that in the 2016 campaign, anybody in the Trump campaign colluded with the Russian government or intelligence services in an improper fashion?
And Senator, my answer to that question would require me to reveal classified information, and so I can't answer that.
She could have said yes or no without revealing the information. Why do you think she was so evasive in answering that question?
Because she's a partisan advocate for Barack Obama and the Democratic left. That's why she was fired as acting attorney general, because her partisanship got in the way of really doing her job as acting attorney general and defending the president's executive order. You had Clapper say no, there's been no evidence of collusion. He was director of national intelligence.
Right.
Why is it he's able to do that while she can't?
That's exactly my question. And when it gets to this whole issue of why she wouldn't defend the president's executive order, she was pretty firm on that. She didn't feel like it was a lawful executive order.
Then she should have resigned. Just because she felt in her personal opinion it wasn't lawful didn't mean she didn't have an obligation to try to defend it in court. Certainly, you can conclude it wasn't lawful, but you could also take the reasonable position that it was. And as a lawyer for her client, the president of the United States government, it wasn't her job to adjudicate this. If she thought if there was a credible argument to put forward that the court could reasonably find to be lawful, she had an obligation to put that argument forward. And if she didn't want to do that, then she should have resigned. But to go in there and undermine and torpedo the effort to defend the case, that is not right.
Do we know if President Obama told President Trump all he knew about Flynn, or do we know if he just said, hey, I don't like the guy?
Well, you know, evidently he didn't like the guy.
I fired him once.
And he,
right,
was, and he wasn't
that.
Fired, and he was not fired because of competence issues,
right,
or his inability to manage this massive bureaucracy. It was because he disagreed with him ideologically.
Do you think that in all of these emails that you're seeking, we'll get the answer, which seems to be sort of the only really open question here? I mean, if there was no collusion, and they did what they thought was the right thing by bringing to the attention of the White House counsel some concerns they had about Flynn, the only remaining question is, why did it take 8 days for the White House to decide that Flynn had to go? Do you think that the emails will get to that question?
Look, I don't know if Flynn had to go based on the information that was being put out there. Mm. You know, I read pretty much all the reports available on what was in those Flynn surveillance transcripts, which were also asking for in different lawsuits. And according to the New York Times, you could read what he said to the ambassador and think he did nothing wrong and didn't lie to the vice president. So we're jumping to all these conclusions about what was in the transcripts based on representations from Sally Yates, who tells us she can't tell us what's in the transcripts because they're classified, which actually is true. So let's declassify the transcripts, find out what's in there, because the analysis of the transcripts that have been in the newspaper thus far, it's not clear whether he did anything wrong. Well, he didn't do anything wrong with the ambassador. We know that to be the case.
Yep.
And it's not clear he misled or lied to anyone about what he told the ambassador.
Well, and this is what Judicial Watch does. You find that when you get to the original emails about the conversations that were going on in real time and they're finally revealed to the American people, we find out what the truth is. And you, what you're suggesting here is, as it stands right now, we still don't have a lot of the answers that would help us understand what really happened.
And I don't understand why you have hearings with people like Clapper and Yates, who are relying on these secret documents to testify without making them available to the American people, or at least getting that process done. And you're just generally just putting more questions out there that you can answer, but you ought to be able to answer as a congressional committee.
Yeah. No, I was going to say just very quickly is that what bothers me about this whole thing is this, as you said, just raises more questions. I would rather prefer that these hearings were done privately so that we could find out what the classified information was, get to all of that, and then come out with the conclusion, as opposed to go through this process publicly and have people be able to twist it and turn it and make
Until the end of guesses. The day, you don't know what's true and
right.
What's not. And Tom, if I could ask about this this other story and regarding Benghazi emails. You've been trying to get a number of emails declassified and unredacted that will tell us exactly what the president told the president of Egypt and Libya about the attacks in Benghazi like a couple of days after the event, correct?
Right.
And you've had a real struggle when the Obama people were in office and trying to get them to do that, and the Justice Department under Obama had fought you every step of the way, and now you go back into court and the judge says you got to release the information. But what's weird about it is the Trump Department of Justice is still fighting you over this.
That's right. It's the Trump State Department and the Justice Department that's come in and are trying to get a court to reconsider an earlier ruling that would require the release of these key records. These are Hillary Clinton emails where she received information about what President Obama was telling foreign leaders. And the court looked at the underlying emails and said you should release them. They're not subject to deliberative process, which is a complicated way of saying pre-decisional, meaning the good stuff that happens before a decision. Says, well, they're just a mere report. They're just facts. They're not internal deliberations.
Uh-huh.
And so the government comes back again. The Trump administration comes back and asks the court, "Oh no, we meant to classify these particular records, and not doing so was part of human error, and should reconsider your ruling and keep them secret." And we're like, "Hold on a second, you're not fooling anyone. We recognize they were classified in other circumstances, but we know that we were on the Clinton server and you didn't classify them on purpose because you didn't want to embarrass Hillary Clinton or the State Department further by having this type of material classified." So it just is so disturbing that you've got these agencies come in and still try to protect Hillary Clinton and the interests of the bureaucrats at the
That's
State
awesome.
Department.
Do you think Jeff Sessions knows that his Justice Department was in court still defending the covering up of the Benghazi emails?
You know, since these are Clinton emails, I don't know if he's recused himself from them or not. I don't know.
But
I think the president ought to know.
Well, I was going to say, it's still his lawyers, whether he has recused himself or not. It is still, it's the Trump administration who is defending Hillary Clinton. Bottom line.
His deputy is obviously is now Senate confirmed. Rex Tillerson, Secretary of State, is a Senate confirmed and a Trump appointee. And this is what strikes me. This could be the key to figuring out what was going on with Benghazi. Who knew what and when, including the president, President Barack Obama. And we're on the cusp of just getting these records. And the Trump people come in and say, no, they shouldn't get them.
That's bizarre to me. I have a hard time understanding. I understand why it was in the interest of the Obama administration to block this. I don't understand why it's still in the interest of the Trump administration to keep fighting you on this matter. These things ought to be released, because we'll get to the bottom of whether or not it was a video that was on YouTube, or whether it was, you know, actually a terrorist attack against the compound in Benghazi.
You know, what troubles me is the FBI, to the degree it did an investigation, talked to people in the State Department, and the State Department employees were telling them, look, we think that they were not classifying material in order to protect Hillary Clinton. And what does the State Department do again under Trump, and the Justice Department do under Trump? They come in and discount all that. So this, to me, you know, I may be being charitable here. This is the deep state. You know, these are the bureaucrats. Mm-hmm. This is kind of the big momentum that is happening, that is carrying over from the Obama administration. It's a momentum towards secrecy and protecting the Democratic class any way they can, including by keeping records away from the American people that federal courts think they have a right to see.
But the judge has ruled that you get these, though, correct? These 8 paragraphs that you will be able to see these?
She has ruled, but the government has filed a motion for reconsideration saying they would classify it in other circumstances and it should be classified in these circumstances. You never know how a court's going to take that. Are they going to just allow it to come out, or are they going to, you know, in the face of the government saying they should be classified? This is going to be a tough case to win on over the long haul, unless the Trump administration stands down.
Well, and that's my question. I wonder, and you talk about deep state, and it may be. And clearly that may be the case, but couldn't it also just be something like the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing? It seems to me that that's not an uncommon thing in this town.
Well, the Trump people have to understand that the default position of the bureaucracy is secrecy. And if they want things done, they have to be proactive. And you call it the deep state, or just a typical bureaucratic interest in making sure that really nothing comes out because their default position is secrecy. You have to have proactive appointees in the administration taking steps to ensure transparency, because it would not happen naturally. It won't happen naturally.
And President Trump, he campaigned on being the law and order president. And I keep saying this over and over again. If you campaigned on being the law and order president, then be the law and order president. However the chips fall, be that guy.
Well, let's just make sure that people understand what's going on here, just so that it's absolutely clear. There is an email that will give us in real time what was going on back when the discussions were taking place about Benghazi. It will clarify once and for all whether or not the administration truly believed it was a video, or they knew that it was a terrorist attack that led to the lives of the death of 4 people in Benghazi. This will give us real information about what was really going on there. And as it stands right now, the reason that we are not getting that information is because the Trump Department of Justice is standing in the way of doing this. This ought to be one phone call from the Attorney General and it's done.
Or from the White House.
Yeah.
Or from the Secretary of State.
Let's get on that, guys. I mean, this is absolutely mind-boggling to me that we're still fighting this battle under this administration.
Is so simple, because it's literally 8 paragraphs, mm-hmm. and we know that it's a summary of President Obama's conversations right after the Benghazi killings.
Pick up the phone, make that call, you know, and get this thing straightened out. Listen, Tom, always a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.